Boys and girls, this is the bit before the theme music, and this is a very special episode because this is episode 159. Now, you might not know this about the number 159, but it's a very specific number because it is actually halfway between 158 and 160. Yeah, now there's no other numbers that are in that position, but 159 is. So, it's going to be a special episode. Or not. It's just another one, isn't it? Just like 159 is another number. This was pointless! Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just seeing a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Try not to be too disappointed. So, boys and girls, do you want to do the interactive bit? I'm not going to bother. I can't be bothered. I'm not going to bother. I'm not doing it. Got some great feedback on the last episode. Sounded like a lot of people enjoyed listening to me chatting with Shelley and Frank. I really enjoyed chatting with Shelley and Frank. They're back in the US now. Sounds like they had a great time in London though, in the pouring rain. Yeah, when they were at our house, the weather was quite nice. Then it turned, took a bit of a turn, and then he went to London and it was proper British summer weather. Anyway, it was great having them here, and I got a little bit of feedback about something that I talked about with Shelley and Frank. I don't know if you remember, but when we were chatting about Santa Claus, they were saying that Santa in the US always leaves the presents under the tree, and I was saying in the UK, you get your presents at the foot of your bed. Well, I received an email from Nicola McLean, and this is what she's put. Like you, I always have my presents from Santa left at the end of my bed. It does seem to be one of those big differences between countries. It was always so exciting waking up and feeling them there. It's mentioned in the book The Dark is Rising by Suzanne Cooper, and the description has always brought the feeling back for me. I found this quote on Goodreads. So this comes from that book. Are you ready? Until he woke in the dim morning room with a glimmer of light creeping around the dark square of the curtained window, and saw and heard nothing for an enchanted, expectant space, because all his senses were concentrated on the weighty feel over and around his blanketed feet, of strange bumps and corners and shapes that had not been there when he fell asleep. And it was Christmas Day. Do you know what? That sums it up. That's what it was like. You'd wake up and you'd feel something, like a weight on your feet at the end of your bed. Kind of like when the cat comes in. A little bit like that. You know, if your cat sleeps on your legs or by your legs, you can feel that weight. It was like that, but it's Christmas Day. Much more exciting. Thanks for sending that through, Nicola. I'm not sure if I've got any other stuff to talk about now, so we're going to start the show with this.
Humbug.
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 Humbug. Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is an episode of the TV show A Different World. I don't know if you're familiar with A Different World. It was actually a spin-off of The Cosby Show, and it's centred around Denise Huxtable. She was played by Lisa Bonet, or Bonnet, I'm not sure. It's spelled B-O-N-E-T. And she left The Cosby Show to go to university. And pretty much the premise of this show, A Different World, was to show a white student at a historically black college. So Lisa Bonet, or Denise, was sharing her dorm room. Is it a dorm room? Sharing her room, anyway, with a white girl called Maggie. Now, interestingly, Maggie was played by Marissa Tomei. And I remember watching A Different World, and I didn't know it was Marissa Tomei that played her mate. I hope I'm saying it right. Tomei. Anyway, but originally, Meg Ryan was cast to play her role. But because her movie career was taking off, she decided not to go with it. And so Marissa Tomei got the role. So the show was set in Hillman College in Virginia. And like I say, those were two roommates. They had loads of supporting characters. The main ones in the first series were their friend Jaleesa. And then you had Dwayne Wayne and Whitley Gilbert. Whitley was like a Southern Belle type. The show itself ran from 1987 to 1993, and there were 144 episodes. But Denise Huxtable, or Lisa Bonet, and Marissa Tomei, they both left after the first series. Lisa Bonet got pregnant with Lenny Kravitz. That's not the baby, that was her partner. And they considered keeping it in that she was a pregnant student, but they decided not to. So she had to leave. And then because of that, they got rid of Maggie as well. And then it just focused on all the black characters. And I don't remember there being any other white characters in it after that. Not that that's an issue, I don't know. Now, before we get into the episode, which came from Series 3, one last thing. I just want to talk briefly about the theme tune. I'll play a little bit of it for you. Here it comes.
I know my parents loved me. Stand behind me, come what may. I know now that I'm ready, yeah. For I finally heard them say, it's a different world.
Now, that was written by three people, one of whom was the actress who plays Jaleesa. And in the first series, it was sung by someone called Phoebe Snow. And the plan was to change the singer of the theme tune for every series. But then the second series, they had Aretha Franklin singing it. And they loved it so much that they kept it all the way through to the last season, which was sung by Boyz II Men. So there you go. Now you know something about the theme tune to A Different World. So, this episode, it's called For Whom the Jingle Bell Tolls, and it opens with Jaleesa and Kim, their roommates. You've got your main characters, Jaleesa, Kim, Freddie, and Whitley. They're all like the female students. And then you've got Dwayne Wayne and Ron Johnson. They're the main two male students that the show focuses on. Then you've got a lot of peripheral characters as well. Anyway. So you've got Jaleesa and Kim, and they're singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And Freddie, the other roommate, she joins in, and her singing's awful. And she sounds a little bit like Jimmy Cagney. You dirty rat. Have a listen.
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled.
Oh, joyful all ye nations, rise, joy in triumphant skies. Sorry.
Yeah, so you've got that. Then in comes Whitley, and she's been Christmas shopping, and I don't know how she got through the door, to be honest, because she's got those proper, super wide 80s shoulder pads. They're really wide. Yeah, I don't know if she turned to come through sideways. Her outfit, pure 80s. She comes in with her Christmas shopping, and she's complaining about how busy it was. Yeah, that's something. The thing with this is, I want to say this at the start, right? The thing with it is, I didn't find it very funny at all, but it's got canned laughter. I don't know if it's filmed in front of a live studio audience or if they just added the laughter, but I wasn't laughing. I don't think I laughed once. And there's a couple of times when they were playing the canned laughter and I was thinking, was that actually meant to be a joke then? What, did I miss something? And I watched it a few times, kids. Anyway, so Whitley's moaning about the shops being busy. It's not important. And then Freddie says that she has bought each of them their gift and she's adopted in their name a humpback whale. I think that was meant to be funny as well, but you know. Then we find out that everyone's going to go downstairs and they're going to have a tree trimming party where they'll sing carols and stuff like that. But Whitley don't want to go. Whitley's going to bed. And then Whitley's mum phones up and she's meant to be going to the south of France with her mum, Whitley is, for Christmas. But Whitley doesn't want to go to the south of France. She wants to go home to Richmond, where she's from. But her mum's like, no. And Whitley's like, oh, I don't know. And then Freddie suggests that she goes back with Whitley to Richmond and they spend Christmas together. But Whitley says no. She's not interested. She don't seem to like Freddie that much. She's not very nice to her. Anyway, then she checks herself in the mirror. Everyone else has left. They've gone to the tree trimming party. She checks herself in the mirror briefly, right? And her reflection is replaced by her mum. Like wearing the same outfit as her. So she's looking at herself in the mirror and it's her mum standing there. And I thought, actually, that's not too bad. That's a little bit like the Jacob Marley in the door knocker thing. So I got what they were doing there. I didn't mind that. Then Whitley goes to bed and she wakes up and her mum's come in and she's all dressed in silk. Now, instead of being covered in chains like Jacob Marley, she's covered in loads of strings of pearls and lots of credit cards and stuff hanging off her. She's like, she's really over accessorized. And we get a couple of what you might call jokes. You want to have a listen?
Darling, Give Mama a hug. No, better yet, just give me a kiss, because you know how silk wrinkles.
But in heaven's name. Oh, I know what this is. It's that souvlaki on a stick I had at the mall.
And she tells Whitley that she's going to be visited by free spirits so that she won't follow in her mother's path. Right? Her mum sent her, so you don't follow in my path. It's like, hang on a minute. Right? Her mum don't look that old. I'm not sure how old she is. I'm guessing maybe early 50s, maybe late 40s. I don't know, right? She's more like the age of Scrooge. And also, she's still alive. So maybe it should be her that she's changing her ways and getting visited by these three ghosts. Not Whitley. Obviously, she's not a major character in the show. She barely turned up in it, you know, the odd episode. But nonetheless, shouldn't she be the Scrooge? Well, the answer is clearly yes, but they're sticking with Whitley, okay? All the characters that play the ghosts are still alive. They're all... who cares? So then Whitley goes back to sleep or something, and in comes Vernon Gaines, and he's the guy that runs the cafeteria or the restaurant on campus, and he's played by an actor called Lou Myers, and he's the ghost of Christmas past. Now, I didn't mind what they did with his outfit, because he's wearing like a long white robe, he's got this long white beard, but he's got a miner's helmet on. And when I was first watching, I was thinking, why has he got a miner's helmet on? But then I realised it's got a light at the front of a miner's helmet, hadn't it? Kind of like the candle on the top of the head of the Ghost of Christmas Past. So I thought that was okay. I thought not too bad. Could have done worse. Whitley doesn't want to go with him, like Scrooge, obviously, because she says she's afraid to fly, and they go out the window. And then we get a really dodgy flying effect as they go back to when she's a kid. Yes, just bad. Really, and the way the camera's sort of zoomed in, it's like they're flying. It's not good. It's not good. And this scene's a bit naff. Her dad's there. And from what I was reading, her dad was played by three different actors. And I watched another Christmas episode of this, which I'm not going to go into. But in that one, I don't know if it's the same dad as this one. But anyway, he was played by three different actors throughout the 6 series of it. Then the mum comes in and she's bought this massive present, and Whitley's like, oh, is that for me? And she goes, it's for my baby. And then she gives it to the dog, which is like a poodle, which is really hilarious, probably. It must be, actually, because the canned laughter was going crazy. And then the mum gives Whitley a gold watch. Then the dad takes a photo of them all together with their presents and that, and he says, say cheese. And we get this.
Say cheese.
Fromage.
Yeah, the canned laughter seemed to like that one as well. And then she's back in bed. I don't know what the relevance of that whole scene was. It didn't really show anything. It showed Christmas with a family. I don't know what the point was. Maybe I'm missing something. She's back in bed. Then in comes Sinbad. He's the ghost of Christmas present, and he's like the sports coach at Hillman. And he's sat there eating this great big turkey leg, and there's like a big table piled with food, and the room's all decorated with greenery. Pretty much like in the book, actually. I thought that was quite good. And he's there to take her to the tree trimming party, which is where they go. And Freddie's there at the tree trimming party, and she's like, oh, I'm going to be on my own on Christmas. And Dwayne Wayne, he comes up and he's like, oh, well, you could stay at my place over Christmas. There's a joke about how her parents aren't going to celebrate Christmas until St. Patrick's Day. I think that was mentioned earlier. So she can't go home because her parents were away. And so Dwayne Wayne says, well, you can stay at my apartment if you want while I'm out of town. There's a bit where he says, I'll sleep on the couch. But then later on, we see her at the apartment. I'll get to that in a second. Anyway, then they all gather around and sing the 12 Days of Christmas. We only get 5 of those days, but I'll play that bit for you. Have a listen.
On the beach.
Freshman.
3 friends, kisses.
2 butts a bumpin'.
2 my MC, have a CD.
That was something. MC Hammer CD. Yeah, sort of dates it a little bit, doesn't it? Then we cut to Freddie. She's in Dwayne Wayne's apartment and she's just a bit sad and lonely because she's got this little tree. But that's pretty much it. She's on her own on Christmas Day in Dwayne's apartment. Then we get the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, and we go to Dwayne Wayne's house. And Dwayne's there, and he's got like 4 kids. 2 of them are boys that look just like him. 2 of them are girls with like really big 80s hair. And Uncle Ron, that's Ron Johnson, he comes in, starts dishing out all the cash. And the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is all like in this hooded black robe, but then she takes off her hood and it's Jaleesa, which is something. And then Whitley's like looking at these kids and she's like, oh, did Dwayne and I get married? And Jaleesa's like, no, look at the kids. And they look like Freddy. So Freddy then comes in and she's pregnant with another kid. Don't know if it's going to be a boy that looks like Dwayne or a girl that looks like her. We don't know. And all the gang are there, like all the old alumni from the college and also like all the staff that work there as well. Like Sinbad and Vernon, who we had earlier, and also some other bloke. Yeah, they're all there, which is what tends to happen after you've left university. When I have Christmas, all the lecturers from university come to my house for Christmas. They don't really. I'm being silly. And then Freddie does this great joke.
Everybody, save room for dessert. I didn't make it.
So the only one who's not there is Whitley. So Jaleesa, who's the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, tells Whitley about her future and why she's not there and that she's doomed if she doesn't change.
I glossed over your nightmare years down on the fat farm.
Fat farm?
Girl, you blew up to a size 16. You were a lonely soap opera watching bonbon popping.
Stop, please.
Can I finish, please? I was about to say you were going to be doomed unless you get a grip and make a serious change.
Change.
So then, that's the end of that, right? That's the end of all the ghosts. Then we get Kim, this is Whitley's roommate from earlier. She wakes up and Whitley's walking in the room. So it's not Whitley waking up saying, I'm going to change. It's Kim waking up and Whitley's already decorated the room. Pretty much, they left the decorations up that Sinbad put up, I think, to be honest. And Whitley comes in and wishes her a Merry Christmas. And then she goes downstairs and her mum's there. And her mum's decided she doesn't want to go to France. She wants to stay in Richmond. And Whitley's saying, well, I do want to come to France. And I've also invited a friend. And the friend comes down the stairs and it's Freddy. And then Freddy like knocks something over, a vase or something. And the mum's like, oh, you've invited her, have you? And Whitley's like, yeah. And the mum's like, actually, I've got a great idea. Instead of going all the way to the south of France, why don't we rent a secluded beach house? Here you go. This is what she says.
Just had the most marvelous idea. Instead of spending Christmas in that stuffy old suite at the Chateau d'Antibes, why don't we rent a secluded beach house in Maine?
Maine.
Just picture it. Towering pines, freshly fallen snow, a roaring fire, and not another living soul for 500 miles.
And then Freddie says this.
God bless us, everyone.
And that's pretty much the end of the episode. And the whole point is that Whitley changed just so that Freddie doesn't end up with Dwayne Wayne. Yeah. That's it. Now, when I was young, I did watch A Different World. The first season, I watched quite a lot of it. I'd sort of lost interest after Denise had left, really. Yeah, I don't know if I caught any of the later episodes at all. I just was never that bothered by it. But it did run for 6 seasons, and it was a big ratings hit when it first came out. And they're remaking it. And I think it's later this year, on Netflix, they'll be bringing out a remake of it, and it's Dwayne Wayne and Whitley's kids. Or kid, that's going to college at Hillman again. So, that's something for us all to look forward to, I guess. It's funny because a while ago I was looking for versions of A Christmas Carol and this one popped up and I thought, oh, I'll find that. Couldn't find it anywhere, but it seems like just recently A Different World is now on Netflix in the UK, so I could watch it, and that's where I watched it. And if you want to watch it, well, if you've got Netflix, I'm sure you can watch it there if you want to. I'll tell you a good way to sum this one up. I went on IMDb and you've got your IMDb rating for each episode, and this one had the joint lowest rating of all the episodes of that season. So, what does that tell you? Usually these sitcom versions, they are a bit weak, and this was weak too, but just without any decent jokes. So there you go, that's this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. Now, let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
We recommend that you stop by the Tiki Bar to try our famous soup of the day. It's a cup of whiskey with ice croutons. Americans have dozens of ways to describe our Christmas experience. We might say that it's magical, spectacular, or exactly like a Hallmark movie. even if it's just an average holiday, we might say that it's been normal, boring, or just like last year. What you will never hear in the States is the British term damp squib. In fact, you might be asking yourself, what the heck is a squib and what makes it so damp? If you do a casual glance through the UK media in December, you will find your Do You Hear What I Hear alarm all ablaze, as you will find this description applied throughout the holiday season. I have seen it used to describe a rained out Christmas festival, a failed John Lewis commercial, a politically correct office party, and all of the socially distanced celebrations during the pandemic. In England, an unsatisfying Christmas is often described as a damp squib, an expression that originally referred to a firework that burned out with a hissing sound and failed to explode. Squibs were what the original fireworks were called. However, if a squib became damp, it wouldn't ignite properly, resulting in a feeble and depressing little pop. So essentially, the phrase suggests a spectacular promise that fizzles into nothing. In the 16th century, the word squib was also used to define a short literary composition that was meant to be satirical or sarcastic in nature. The firework meaning and the satire meaning were both being used in print in the 1520s. The interesting thing is how the damp squib term came to apply to both of these different meanings. The written squib was often meant to create a buzz or excitement, but if it only produced a casual shrug or failed to generate a chuckle, it was considered a literary damp squib. Thus, similar to the firecracker, the essay may have started out to make a bang, but if it didn't create a stir, it ended with a soggy hiss of irony, or a damp squib. The phrase now means something intended, but failing to impress. It's a classic British term because it's funny to say, but it's also understated and slightly apologetic at the same time. Damp squib soon extended beyond the firework to describe situations or events that failed to live up to expectations. It signified an unsuccessful outcome, a lack of excitement, or an anticlimactic moment. What is also common today is that people have forgotten what a squib is, so the expression is often mispronounced and stated as a damp squid, which is funny because a squid is always damp, so it's not clear what it means. You're basically comparing a mediocre Christmas to a squishy eight-armed ocean beast. So in the end, a damp squib maybe just one of those phrases we are not meant to understand. It may just be too British for our American mind, kind of like high tea and flying nannies. And besides, that's the real lesson here, because be it a damp squib or a damp squid, from our perspective, it's basically the same thing. Cheers and happy Christmas.
That was a good one. That was a very good one. Yeah, we do use the term damp squib quite a lot. If something isn't exciting or spectacular as you expect it to be, say, well, it's a bit of a damp squib, really. One little thing there, some of you might be thinking, hang on a minute, a squid has got 10 tentacles because Bob only said it had 8. Well, I looked it up and apparently they have got like 8 arms and then 2 other tentacles or something. Or is it arms and they got 8 tentacles? I don't know. Anyway, they got 10, but they've also got 8 of a category and 2, so who cares? Great work, Bob. He'll be back in a bit. Now we're doing this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, it is time now for the quiz, but first, we must look at last episode's scores. Now, don't forget, boys and girls, in the last episode, I had my wife and Frank and Shelley Arnold there doing the quiz with us, so let's see how you compared. Now, I've got to say, there's not a broad spread of scores this episode. The lowest was 4, the highest was only 7. And with 4 points, we've got Jennifer Kay and David Ferguson. With 5 points, if you remember, Frank, last episode, he got 5. Matching Frank were Mary Pulte, Todd Pulte, Jack Unverfirth, Frank Talley, and John Gomez. Now, Shelley scored 6 points, and equaling Shelley, we have Pamela Wootton, Caroline Cole, Stephen Beach and Gerald Case Blanchard. And I got a nice message from Gerald saying that he's also from Michigan. And he said he thoroughly enjoyed listening to Frank and Shelley, as did I. And with 7 points matching me and my beautiful wife Carla were Nicola McLean, Martin Goodman, Mike Westphal from the Advent Calendar House podcast. Don't forget, boys and girls, we're only 2 and a bit weeks away from the July episodes of Advent Calendar House podcast. So make sure you're subscribed to that so you get them when they come out. Also, Nettie Tabot, Benji Pearson and Sean Sotka. And of course, Sean Sotka is from the Christmas Podcasts podcast. So check that out as well. Now, boys and girls, it's this episode's quiz. And these questions ain't the easiest. I didn't do very well. Let's see how you get on. First two, pretty difficult. Here we go. Ready? So here comes your first question. And if they're too tricky, don't let it upset ya. I didn't get them either, and I like to think of myself as a bit of a Christmas genius. Turns out I'm not, kids, but this is how we learn. Question number one. In Barbados, baked ham is decorated with what fruit in a traditional Christmas meal? Now, that confused me, because when it said decorate, my first thought, tinsel. Surely it's tinsel, but then it says it's a fruit, and I don't think tinsel is a fruit. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Question number two. When does dinner start in Poland on Christmas Eve? When do you start your dinner? Question three. What festive treat was believed to help women find themselves a husband in Tudor times? What could that be? Okay, next one. At which famous monument was the winter solstice famously celebrated thousands of years ago? Of course, Christmas is at the winter solstice. Was it Grimes's Graves, Stonehenge, the Tower of London, or Windsor Castle? Next one. What is the term used for a tip given to a tradesman or servant in the past at Christmas? Now, I've talked about this numerous times before, boys and girls, and it is a British thing, but if you're a fan of the show, you would have heard me mention it numerous times, so you better get it. Next one. In religious terms, what does the 12th night mark the beginning of? The 12th night. What's that the beginning of? Next one. Who do the angels speak to first in the first Noel? Yeah. Or the first Noel. Okay. Who's the first Noel? Which one was it? Was it Noel Gallagher? Probably not. Was it Noel Edmonds? Well, he's older than Noel Gallagher. It could have been him. Noel Fielding. A lot of people overseas don't even know who these people are. Right. In which US city was the celebration of Christmas banned from 1659 to 1681? That's 22 years of misery, kids. Misery. Traditionally, which way should you stir a Christmas pudding? Which way do you stir it? And the final question. In what year was A Christmas Carol published? There you go. Those are your 10 questions. I warned you they'd be tricky, boys and girls. I did warn you that. But you're beautiful and clever, so I'm sure you scored 10. Well, let's find out, because here come your answers. Question number one. In Barbados, baked ham is decorated with what fruit in a traditional Christmas meal? And the answer is pineapple. Did you know what? I went mango. Yeah, disappointed in that. I should have thought pineapple and ham, they go together, don't they? How do I not get that? Okay, question number two. When does dinner start in Poland on Christmas Eve? Well, here's the thing. I thought it was sundown. But it says, when you see the first star in the sky. Well, I'll tell you what, boys and girls. If you've got an overcast, cloudy night, there's going to be a lot of hungry people in Poland on Christmas Eve, isn't there? The answer, of course, is yes. Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed in that, but it's not sundown. It is when the first star appears. It's like, tuck in, kids. There it is. Okay, yeah, I don't know what they do on a cloudy night. Anyway, next one. What festive treat was believed to help women find themselves a husband in Tudor times? Well, the answer is binoculars made out of 2 mince pies. And they're looking through their mince pies. And, oh, there's a bloke over there. Let's see if he's going to go and marry me. No, do you know what? I did go mince pie. I don't know why, but apparently it's a gingerbread man. Your little effigy of the man you're going to marry, maybe. Next one. At which famous monument was the winter solstice famously celebrated thousands of years ago? Well, thousands of years ago, there wasn't a Tower of London, there wasn't a Windsor Castle, and I don't know about Grimes Graves, but the answer, of course, was Stonehenge. That's where they celebrated the winter solstice. I didn't know that. I knew they celebrated the summer solstice there. Now, I live near Stonehenge, and Shelley and Frank went to visit it, actually, while they were here. I say live near it, it's less than an hour, or about an hour's drive. I've driven past it loads of times. And in the summer, loads of travellers and that would go and have a massive party down there. I remember seeing footage on TV, like people climbing on the stones and raving and the music playing and blasting out and that, and the police having to arrest a lot of people. So that's when it all got fenced off. So it's a lot harder to get to now. But the Druids, I don't know who these Druids are, but they do still do a summer festival thing there, and people do still go down to watch, but they can't go up to the stones anymore. But I didn't know they did it in the winter, so I don't know if anything happens there in the winter still, because it still does in the summer. Anyway, next question. What is the term used for a tip given to a tradesman or a servant in the past at Christmas? Well, I've told you this before. Quite often when people give me some cash for Christmas, they call it my Christmas box. And that is where the term Boxing Day comes from. We've discussed this before. Why are you making me repeat myself? Why? Why? Right, next question. In religious terms, what does the 12th night mark the beginning of? And I thought, Epiphany. And it is Epiphany, because I think Epiphany is when the wise men turned up. So that's the 12th night. Next one. Who do the angels speak to first in the first Noel? And it wasn't Noel Gallagher. It wasn't even Noel Edmonds. It was actually the shepherds. Yeah, Noel Shepherd. Probably not. Probably not. No, it's the shepherds. Okay, next one. In which US city was the celebration of Christmas banned from 1659 to 1681? And for some reason, I had it in my head that Boston, was that somewhere where like the witch trials went on or that sort of stuff? And I thought, Boston. I'm thinking Boston. Why am I thinking Boston? I thought Boston. I got it right, kids. Next one. Oh, we're on the ninth one now. Traditionally, which way should you stir a Christmas pudding? And the answer is from east to west. Yeah, which, I don't know, I thought anti-clockwise. But if you're going east to west, I don't know how that works. Because if you're stirring, if you're going backwards and forwards, then you're going to be going east to west, then you've got to go west to east, haven't you? And if you're going in a clockwise motion, well, at some point you're going to be going east to west, and the other point you're going to be going west. It's pointless. I don't understand, unless you just stir it, like you do the motion, so you stir one direction and bring the spoon out and start again. I don't know, but that's a tradition. It's madness. Madness, I tells you. I bet those Christmas puddings I've been buying from Tesco's, I bet they don't stir those from east to west. And the final question. In what year was A Christmas Carol published? The answer is 1843. And quite often, on A Christmas Carol, when Scrooge is looking at his grave, they'll have 1843 as the year that he died. Not every time, but sometimes. So there you go, boys and girls. Those are your 10 questions. I scored 6. Not a great score, but it's my score. Now, boys and girls, 17 of you lovely people sent your scores in last time, which was 7 more than for Santa Banter the week before, episode before. Why don't you get off your backside and send in your score? It's so nice when I see a new name pop up. Of course, having said that, it's so nice when I see one of the regulars' names pop up as well. So, send me a score. The email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. It will take you seconds. In fact, you can have a very good reason to email me, and that's coming up at the end of the episode. But right now, boys and girls, we're doing this. Boys and girls, a little while ago, I received an email from listener Jason Matusiak, and he'd been binge listening the podcast, and finally, he's managed to catch up. Well done, Jason. It's good to have you here. And he sent me in a few things, one of which I'll be talking about next episode, another of which I'll be talking about after this, but he also sent me a joke. Now, I don't know if you remember the last time I was going to do a joke. I didn't bother. The joke was so bad, I thought, forget it. I'm not even going to bother. Well, this episode, the joke comes from Jason Matusiak. Now, he put this. If you ever do a Jack After Dark Christmas podcast that the kids are never allowed to listen to, you can use this joke. Well, I don't think it's that bad. boys and girls. I don't think it's that rude. And also, kids really shouldn't be listening to this podcast anyway, because we talk about Santa Claus and I sometimes say words like shit. So, you know, don't let your kids listen to this. Here's the joke, and it's not awful. Why does Santa have such a big sack? Because he only comes once a year. Hey! Well done, Jason Matusiak. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about the Santa Claus Trail? I know that this is not just one location, and we'll return to our central mission next episode of finding Christmas all year throughout the world. But now, through my work on another podcast, I have discovered Santa Claus statues in many different countries of the world. It inspired me to imagine a Santa Claus trail spanning continents and cultures. The journey would begin in Rotterdam, Netherlands, where you could see the famous public sculpture Santa Claus by Paul McCarthy. It depicts Santa holding what is officially described as a Christmas tree, although many interpret it differently. It's one of the world's most controversial Santa-themed statues. From there, we would cruise to Wiltz, Luxembourg, to view a statue honoring Richard Brookins called the American Saint Nick. Brookins was a U.S. soldier who famously dressed up as Saint Nicholas to bring candy and hot cocoa to local children who had suffered under Nazi occupation in 1944. This statue is front of the Wiltz Castle, and this event is recreated every year. Our next stop is Rabka, Poland, where there is a statue of St. Nicholas in front of the former Rabka train station. This statue stands on top of a globe where only three of the world's cities are identified. Rabka, where there is a famous children's health resort and St. Nicholas is considered the patron saint of children. Mira, in Turkey, where he was a bishop. In Lapland, Finland, where he's said to be living now. From Poland, the trail would travel to Lyngsidet, Norway, to find Golas, a 9-meter or 32-foot tall Santa figure overlooking the town. It is made of plastic and was built in 1992. Golas is claimed to be the world's biggest Santa Claus sculpture and was voted as Norway's ugliest tourist attraction. We would also make a visit to Mira in present-day Turkey, where St. Nicholas served as a bishop in the 4th century. The Church of St. Nicholas is there, and there are four different statues offering competing images of the historic figure, showing him as either Father Christmas, an Orthodox bishop, a Western Santa Claus, and finally, Santa of Lycia, who is fashioned to look like a Turk. Next, we'll swing by Lecco, Italy, to take a quick peek at a golden statue of St. Nicholas standing in Lake Lecco, where he has been since 1955. He is the patron saint of Lecco, and the schools all close to celebrate his feast day. Children will receive red apples to commemorate St. Nicholas's goodwill and generosity, and to represent a tale in which he gifted this fruit to poor children. We make our final trail stop in San Nicolas, Chile, which calls itself the Children's Town. There, in the town's central square, you'll find an imposing statue of St. Nicholas in the Plaza of the Children. He is surrounded by five small kids receiving gifts, which is meant to reflect the origins of the Santa Claus legend. The sign there reads, "Solidarity, love for children, kindness, justice." And this plaza is used to collect gifts at Christmas for poor children. Now, if you know of another saintly location with a majestic monument, you carve it out for Jack, he'll shape it up for me, and together we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the world.
Look at that, boys and girls. Not one, but seven places to go and visit. Excellent work. Good research there, Bob. Yeah, and I haven't been to see any of them. Didn't even know any of them existed. Shame on me. But now I do know, and I'll go and visit them all, probably this weekend if I've got time. Now, boys and girls, do you remember the quiz last week? Two of the questions I got wrong. One was, what tree do they have in New Zealand? Another one was, who decorates your house in Denmark? And I got them both wrong. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. Bob emailed me and said he got both of them because he'd mentioned them both on his podcast. Now, the thing is, I'm a little bit ashamed of that because obviously I listen to Bob's podcast, so I should have known that. But I'm not as ashamed of getting that wrong as I would be of getting wrong a question that I've covered. And that's happened. There's been stuff I've covered and I've completely forgotten it. So doing my best is all I can say. Excellent segment there, Bob. Boys and girls, you've got to check out Bob's podcast. If you do, you'll do better on the quiz, won't you? It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans and it's out every fortnight. There's a link in the show notes, so check it out. Now we're doing this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So boys and girls, that joke just came from Jason Matusiak. If you were offended, blame him, not me. A while ago, he sent me an email as he was binge listening his way through the podcast. And one of the things he's mentioned in his email was this. It says, in one of the older episodes, I was convinced that a Christmas song that you were going to cover that should have been a hit was going to be Neil Diamond's You Make It Feel Like Christmas. If you haven't listened to it, I think you should give it a chance. It doesn't get much radio play in the States, but it's really good. My wife and I are such big Christmas fans, we named our daughter Noelle, for obvious reasons, that it was actually the first song we danced to at our wedding. So I replied, thanks for that, I'll talk about it in the next episode. And then I didn't, and this was back in April. But then, when I received an email this week from Jason saying that he'd caught up, it reminded me about that song, and I thought, wow, I better talk about it now. And that's what I'm doing. I'm talking about it now. So, you must all be familiar with Neil Diamond. He was born in 1941 and he's 85 years old now. And he has sold over 56 million records in the United States alone. Some of his biggest hits were Song Sung Blue, I Am, I Said, and of course, Sweet Caroline. And one of his songs that I talked about in a previous episode was called A Cherry Cherry Christmas. And in the song, he incorporated loads of song titles from his previous hits, including the ones I just mentioned. And it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. I covered it in a previous episode. I'm not going to talk about it again. I've talked about it enough. Now, Neil Diamond was born to a Jewish family, but he's actually released four Christmas albums. Yeah, the first one was called The Christmas Album. The second one was called The Christmas Album 2. The third one was called, no, not A Christmas Album 3. It was actually called A Cherry Cherry Christmas. And that was a little bit cheeky because most of the songs in that album were actually taken from A Christmas Album 1 and A Christmas Album 2. And there were like four other songs that he added as well. And the fourth of his albums, released in 2016, was An Acoustic Christmas. Well, on album 1, back in 1984, one of the songs was the one that Jason mentioned, and it's called You Make It Feel Like Christmas. And it was written by Neil Diamond, and we're going to play a bit of it for you right now.
Look at us now, part of it all. In spite of it all, we're still around. Lovers in love, just like we were.
So it's a lovely song, and it pretty much sings about how much he loves his partner and how she makes him feel like Christmas, which is funny because there's another song came out about 10 years ago also called You Make It Feel Like Christmas by Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, which is a similar sort of sentiment but a completely different tune and with a completely different feel to it as well. That's a lovely song, but we're talking about this one. So the song was released as a single in 1984, but I couldn't find a video for it. I don't know if he made a promotional video, but I couldn't find it anywhere. It didn't make the proper US chart, but it did get to number 28 on the US adult chart. And that was in 1984. And then the Christmas album, where it appeared, was released in 1992. So 8 years later. That's pretty much all I can tell you about it, really. Yeah, it's just a nice song. Cozy song, a Christmassy song. And it's certainly got Neil Diamond's voice in it, hasn't it? Let's have a listen to a little bit more of it.
Christmas.
in your song. All year long.
You know, it's a funny thing what makes a song a Christmas classic and what doesn't. There's some in the UK that never made a big impact on the charts, but are still Christmas standards that you hear every year. Then there's other ones that did get really high in the charts, but you don't hear them anymore. That one didn't do that well in the charts, and I've never heard it before. But it's a lovely song, and I really appreciate Jason for bringing it to my attention. I will be adding it to my Christmas playlist. So there you go, boys and girls. If you want to check it out, You Make It Feel Like Christmas by Neil Diamond. But now, we're doing this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is a book called Theo of Golden, and it was written by Alan Levy, or Levi. This is the blurb from Wikipedia. It was first self-published in 2023 and later republished by Atria Books in 2025, and the novel later appeared on the New York Times bestseller list. The story is set in the fictional town of Golden and follows a mysterious man named Theo, who arrives without explanation. He purchases pencil portraits of local residents displayed in a coffee shop and returns them to their subjects, prompting a series of encounters that reveal personal stories and relationships within the community. Now, I wasn't aware of this book, but Bob Baker was kind enough to send me a voucher for Audible so I could listen to the audiobook. And here's the thing, I couldn't use the voucher. Because he'd sent it through audible.com, for some reason, my audible.co.uk wouldn't let me access the voucher. Now, I'm sure there's some way I could have figured it out, but I tried loads of times and nothing happened. So I thought, you know what? If Bob thinks I should listen to this book, why don't I just get a copy? So that's what I did. Got my own copy, and I listened to it, and I loved it. It's such an uplifting book. Now, Bob referred to it as a true Christmas book that is not about Christmas. And it's true, because as I was reading it, I started to almost see Theo of Golden as like a Santa Claus kind of character. And it's just delightful, really uplifting, lovely, lovely story that I think you'll enjoy. And it really made me want to do nice things. Now, here's the thing. I can't use that voucher for the book that Bob sent me. So I'm offering it out to you guys. And you'll have to be based in the US, or you'll have to be more computer savvy than me if you want it. But what you have to do, when you send me a score from the quiz, if you want, if you've got an Audible account, then just put, yeah, I fancy having a listen to Theo of Golden, and I'll put your name in the hat. And then next episode, I will put my hand in the hat and pull out a name, and whoever's name comes out, they'll be the lucky person to get that Audible version of Theo of Golden. Now, if you don't want to email me, or if you're not based in the US, or if you're not some genius that knows how to use the voucher in a different country, I still recommend the book. It's purely delightful. It's quite long, which is good, because then you get more for your money. And it's, I've said it before, do you want me to say it again? It's very uplifting. There's a bit near the end, I was there gardening away, listening to this book. I had tears in my eyes. I didn't cry, all right? I didn't break down. But it moved me, and I think it'll move you too. If you're a lover of Christmas, I think you'd enjoy this book. So boys and girls, check out Theo of Golden. And if you want the opportunity to win a copy on Audible, then just tell me. You don't have to give me a score for the quiz if you don't want to. Just drop me an email. You know the email address. It's totalchristmas@gmail.com. Send me that email. Say, yeah, I fancy having a listen. And your name will go in the hat. There you go, boys and girls. This episode's recommendation, and thank you, thank you, thank you to my mate Bob for making me aware of this lovely book. And that is it for this episode. Thanks so much to Jason Matusiak for sending through the ideas for the show. Thanks, of course, to Bob for his hard work and Theo of Golden. And, of course, everyone who sent me your scores, thanks for being part of the show. If you want to be part of the show, all you've got to do is email me. I've given you the email address. I'm giving it to you again, totalchristmas@gmail.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, boys and girls, you know I love you. Merry Happy Christmas!